Is it okay to question the reality of God? That's a great, great thing to ponder. With us this morning is Lee Strobel, who's pretty much qualified to answer that question. Of course, you probably know him. He's a former award-winning legal editor of the Chicago Tribune and best-selling author of many, many books, and now serves as founding director of the Lee Strobel Center for Evangelism and Applied Apologetics. That's impressive on your business card right there. I'm just saying. Lee, thanks for stopping by and being a part of the program this morning. It is truly an honor to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure. I sure appreciate that. I'm glad you guys are doing well.
So I'm going to start out with that question, is God real? Because you have a new book out that explores the evidence to that, explore the ultimate question of life. So give us a little backstory on this latest book.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The reason I wrote the book is I was told that by some tech people that 200 times a second around the clock, someone on planet Earth is typing into a search engine basically the question, is God real?
Really?
Yeah. And I thought, man, 200 times a second, there's a lot of interest, a lot of curiosity about this question. And so I decided to put together interviews with leading scholars on the science that points toward Christianity being true, and then the resurrection of Jesus, which goes beyond does God exist, and says specifically it is the God of Christianity who the evidence of history and science supports.
Wow.
And very quickly, for those that aren't familiar with your story of coming to know Jesus personally, you set out to prove everything wrong, right? You set out to prove that it was just a great story. Right?
That's right. I was legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. My background's in journalism and law. And I was an atheist. My wife was kind of spiritually confused, kind of, I don't know, maybe an agnostic, I guess you'd call her.
Yeah.
And she met a Christian friend. They talked about the Bible, invited her to church, and then Leslie gave me the bad news that she had become a Christian. So I thought, how do I rescue her from this cult that she's gotten involved in? And even as an atheist, I recognize that the resurrection is the key, because Jesus clearly made transcendent and messianic and divine claims about himself. But anybody could do that. The question is, did he back it up by returning from the dead?
Right.
And so I focused a lot on the question of the resurrection of Jesus.
And you have a book out that really fits with what we're celebrating right now, and that is the upcoming death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. So, was Jesus' death a sham, or was it true?
It was definitely true. I mean, the evidence is clear and compelling. I think it's powerful and persuasive. It's persuaded a lot of people through the years that Jesus, as I say, didn't just claim to be the Son of God, which he clearly did, but backed it up by his resurrection. And so I think the evidence of history is decisive here, because we can look at the historical record. You know, most of what we know and believe about the ancient world, when you get right down to it, it's really based on one or two sources of information. And yet, for instance, for the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus, we have no fewer than 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the risen Jesus. That is an avalanche of historical data.
You know, and that's the thing, is that in today's society, there's a lot of, well, okay, this is what you say, but can you prove it? To express to someone that they need to believe on faith and they need to move forward on faith, it's almost a foreign concept. So your approach of looking at all of the historical evidence is just, it's reinforcing. Because, I mean, let's be honest, even those of us who are Christians and we have faith, that doubt still kicks in every once in a while.
Sure.
Like, okay, was the resurrection real? I mean, did people see Jesus after he was resurrected? I mean, did that really happen? And you approach this just beautifully.
Well, thank you. I think, you know, I can summarize the evidence very quickly. You know, because Easter begins with E, I use 4 words that begin with E to summarize it, and I can do it in about 60 seconds.
Go for it.
Although, don't time me. Don't time me. It's like maybe you're wrong.
Okay, I'll put the stopwatch
down. No stopwatch. watches.
All right, fine.
But the first E is for execution, that Jesus was clearly dead after being crucified. Mm-hmm. We have no record anywhere of anyone ever surviving a full Roman crucifixion. And not only do we have multiple sources in the New Testament about his death, we've got five ancient sources outside the Bible that confirm his execution. In fact, no less of a source than the Journal of the American Medical Association, which is a secular, scientific, peer-reviewed medical journal, carried an investigation into the death of Jesus. Mm. And they said, clearly, the weight of the historical and medical evidence indicates that Jesus was dead even before the wound to his side was inflicted. Mm. The second E is for early. Early reports that Jesus rose from the dead. In other words, reports have come so quickly after his death, you can't write it off as being a legend. It took at least two generations of time passing in the ancient world for legend to develop and wipe out a solid core of historical truth. And yet we have a report of the resurrection of Jesus, including named eyewitnesses and groups of eyewitnesses, that has been dated back by scholars to within months of his death. Mm. Within months. That's far too quick to be written off as a legend developed over time. Third, we have an empty tomb. And the most persuasive evidence for that is even the enemies of Jesus admitted the tomb was empty. Because when the disciples began proclaiming that Jesus had risen, what the enemies of Jesus said, and we know this from sources inside and outside the New Testament, what the enemy said was, the disciples stole the body. Well, they're admitting the tomb is empty. They're just trying to explain how it got empty. So everybody was conceding that the tomb was empty. The real question is, how did it get empty?
Right.
And, you can go through the usual list of suspects. Romans weren't about to steal the body. They wanted Jesus dead. The religious leaders of the day weren't about to steal the body. They wanted Jesus to stay dead. Mm-hmm. The disciples weren't about to steal the body. They didn't have the motive, the means, or the opportunity. And we have seven ancient sources that tell us they lived lives of deprivation and suffering as a result of their proclamation that Jesus had risen. Mm-hmm. So they had no motive to do that. And then the fourth E is for eyewitnesses. And I mentioned this earlier. We have, a proliferation of evidence. How many is it? Nine ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the risen Jesus. That is, when you look historically, that is absolutely amazing.
And so, Lee, I'm thinking about the skeptic that may have just tuned in and wondering, what does this mean for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does this mean for me?
Yeah, that's a great question. And here's what it means. Jesus said at one point, I and the Father are one. And the Greek word for one there is not masculine, it's neuter, which means Jesus was not saying I and the Father are the same person. He was saying I and the Father are the same thing. We're one in nature. We're one in essence. Mm. So the audience understood what he was saying. They picked up stones to kill him because they said, you're just a man and you're claiming to be God. So Jesus claimed to be God. Well, as I said, anybody could claim that, but if Jesus claimed to be God, died, and then 3 days later rose from the dead, that's good evidence he's telling the truth. Yes. So now what do we have? What are the implications for us? The implications are, if Jesus is God, then his teachings are not just wise sayings of an ancient sage. I mean, they are from God himself. And so his teachings about how to live our life, how we can come into a relationship with him and so forth, are authoritative and need to be believed and followed. So he should be the source of our worship. He should be the source of our obedience. And we should align our lives on his teachings, because if he is truly God, as he proved by the resurrection, then that is the very, very best way for us to live our life and to enter into eternity and spend that with him in heaven. So the whole ball game, this is the ball game, whether Jesus rose from the dead and thus proved he is who he claimed to be.
Mm-hmm. There's so many resources that you have put together. You've dug into just almost every aspect of our faith. Mm-hmm. and have approached it in such a way that those of us who really like to pick things apart, and try and find the cracks in it, it's very appealing. Is there a starting point is there a chronological order for that we should go into and jump in, or is it just
that's a great question.
Pick a direction and go, before. Man.
That's a great question. I think my new book, Is God Real?, kind of lays out the entire case, because it looks at science. It looks at the origin of the universe, the fine-tuning of the universe, the information inside DNA. It looks at philosophical arguments for God's existence, and then it looks at the evidence for the resurrection. So it's kind of an A to Z resource. The case for Christ really tells my story, and focuses a lot on the reliability of the New Testament and the Bible, but also on the resurrection of Jesus and the fulfillment of prophecies and so forth. So those books, I think, are kind of the opening door to. And what I want to mention, if your listeners aren't familiar with my work, is that I'm not the world's leading expert on all this, but I'm a journalist. I'm trained in law. I'm trained in journalism. And so what I do is I seek out the world's leading experts mm-hmm. with PhDs from Cambridge and Oxford and major universities. And I asked them the tough questions I had when I was a skeptic. And then, you know, my skill as a journalist is how do we put those cookies on the bottom shelf? How do we explain these scholarly, brilliant, brilliant professors? How do we not dumb it down, but just communicate in a way that I can understand? If I can right. understand it, anybody can understand it. And so I see myself as a kind of a conduit, a link between the scholarly world, which is very inaccessible to a lot of people, and the everyday world. And so I'm kind of a translator who probes and seeks the evidence from these credentialed and recognized experts, and then helps kind of put it in terms that we can all get. And that's kind of the role I play in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. As I was looking at a Pew Research article, I was seeing that they were showing a huge growth in the amount of people that say that they're none. They're none of, you know, they're listing no religion, or maybe they're a little bit of every religion. Yeah. We don't really right. know, because they right. just click that box. And then it showed by 2070, there'd be more nuns in mm-hmm. the U.S. than actual Christians.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really startling to see that, especially since we have so much evidence for yeah. the Christian message. Where is the breakup? Where is it that we are going wrong in communicating the message?
Well, I'm not so sure it's a bad thing. I know that's a little controversial, but the reason I say that is if you ask the American population in the 1960s, early 60s or late 50s, are you a Christian? They'd say, of course. We're Americans. We're all Christians. Mm-hmm. Were they really Christians? No, not really. and now I think people are just being honest. And, you know, and they're yeah. saying, no, I'm not a member of a Christian church, and I do believe in God. See, many of the nuns believe in God. And so they're not atheists necessarily. And I believe that if we're more honest about where we stand, if we're mm-hmm. confused spiritually, let's be honest about that. And then let's have a conversation about where does the evidence point. So I think sometimes mm-hmm. in the past, we Americans have insulated themselves from the evidence because they say, well, of course, I'm okay. I'm an American. I must be a Christian. Well, that's not the standard for determining whether or not you're a follower of Jesus.
Right.
And so I think people are just being more honest these days. And yes, there is a lot of misinformation that comes across the internet mm-hmm. that needs to be corrected and dealt with. But I think it opens up opportunities for people like me who are evangelists, who want to see people come to faith, to talk about the evidence, to talk about why we believe what we believe. And I think the people who are willing to say, I don't fit in any religious category, I kind of believe in God, great, let's have a conversation, because those people, I believe, are going to be more open to the evidence than mm-hmm. someone who's convinced that they're a believer when they're really not.
I love that. That's good.
We're talking with Lee Strobel, who has put out so many books, Is God Real?, The Case for Christ, The Case for Easter. Lee, how do we get a hold, where's a good location and a resource to dive into your work, read these books, and just start digging in?
Well, my website is leestrobel.com, all one word, leestrobel.com. If they want information on our center for evangelism and apologetics at Colorado Christian University, they can go to Strobel Center, one word, strobelcenter.com. And that's kind of the gateway to that. We offer undergraduate degrees. We offer master's degrees, all accredited, all online. And we also have certificate courses for people that don't want a degree, but they want to learn and grow in why we believe what we believe, to study a course on the resurrection, for instance. We have those available as well. So we're excited about that. We really believe it's important to equip the next generation to be carriers of the truth of the Christian faith.
Amen.
Absolutely true. Lee, thank you. Thank you for all the work that you do for your, you know, your inquisitive mind.
And it drives my wife crazy. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, we've been married 51 years, though.
Oh, wow. Wow. Congratulations.
So something's going right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Please stay in touch and let us know things as they develop. And I look forward to having another conversation with you, hopefully in the near future.
Awesome. I hope so. God bless you and all your listeners.